Always rely upon a happy mind alone. It's good advice just on the surface level. Always rely upon a happy mind. Try to always have a happy mind. Do whatever you need to do to have a happy mind in whatever you're doing. Think of positive ways of relating to yourself and others and what you're doing to maintain a buoyancy. It's just crackingly good advice on the very surface. But if we start to go a bit deeper into it, it's talking about don't trust the unhappy mind, which we tend to do. We tend to, by hook, line, and sinker, this sort of painful fantasy, this hallucination that our delusions create, this distorted view. This is a bad person. This is a bad situation. I am a bad person. Like, we believe these things, but they're not true. The way a delusion is relating to things is not true. The way, if we relate to things correctly, we have a very different experience. So Venerable Geshe goes on later in the New Eight Steps to Happiness to say, all delusions are based on a mistaken way of seeing things. When we see things as they really are, our delusions naturally disappear and virtuous minds naturally manifest. Minds such as love and kindness are based on reality and are an expression of our pure nature. Thus, when we view others as kind, we are seeing beyond their delusions and are relating to their pure nature, their Buddha nature. So when our delusions disappear, positive minds naturally start to rise. That's one of the reasons why, from the very beginning of our practice, the meditation on the breath is so helpful. You know, there are much more powerful meditations that we learn and that we practice. But at the beginning, just learning to just let go a little bit, just drop some of the noise and get a bit closer to stillness, shows us, you know, we can sit down. And maybe you have, some of you had this experience. Maybe it's been a crazy day and there's been a lot going on and we were quite flustered, but we managed to get ourselves here. And then we sat and we breathed for a little bit and just enjoyed the peace of the temple and just let some of those layers of noise slip away. And then suddenly we start to feel differently. Different sorts of feelings start to come, positive feelings. Good insights, good minds start to come, because we've allowed some space in. So let's spend a little bit more time, hopefully, just to deepen our conviction that delusions are mistaken. So the two main delusions that Venerable Geshe referred to as our aversion, like seeing someone who's in some way crossed with us. They've gone against our wishes. And our mind can go and think they're a bad person, an intrinsically bad person. There's no such thing as an intrinsically bad person. That would mean, even if they devoted their entire life to meditating on love and practicing kindness, they would still just be raw evil. It's like, well, no, that's not how it works. If they practice being kind, if they cultivate loving minds, that's what will come out. Everyone has that potential. And in fact, that mind that's thinking they're intrinsically bad, it's thinking they are responsible for my pain, but they're not. We could see them, we could relate to them differently. We could relate to this person that is behaving in this troubling way as someone who's suffering. We could understand, we could get out of where we're stuck in and thinking, how dare they talk to me like that? See the situation from their point of view and realize, oh, they're struggling. They're hurting, they're in pain. That's why they're like this at the moment. This isn't who they really are. This is their pain talking. And then we have a completely different feeling. It's the same situation, but now we're seeing it with wiser eyes. There's a warmth to our heart. There isn't a sort of a frostiness or an aggression. There's a warmth to us because we see this is a good person who's suffering. Compassion arises. Attachment, again, is exaggerating. The analogy Venerable Geshe used was chocolate. So I don't know, maybe some people overindulge at Easter. I don't know, chocolate, eggs, whatever. When we first eat something like that, we think, this is wonderful, this is delicious, all these flavors. But then quickly it becomes apparent that you can have too much. If you can have too much of something, that does indicate that it's not really a source of happiness. Like if it can cause us lots of pain. Now we tend to get confused by the first experience, which really is what we call changing suffering. It's like a reduction of pain. We'll look at this a little bit more in future classes, but with attachment, we get this exaggerated notion. If I just had this, if I could just have this always, then I would be happy. But actually, we're only going to be happy if our mind is at peace. So, if we can see that our mind is misunderstanding the situation, then we can start to dismantle that delusion. So when our mind is giving us unhappy thoughts, at the very least, we try not to believe them. We try to think, this isn't true. The way I'm relating to this isn't true. I'm mistaken. It's not true. It's not true. Now, we may have a challenge there because we may think, no, but it is true. It is true. Like, for example, you might think, they have left me. That's true. And I have had this diagnosis. That's true. And I do have these bills coming in that I can't pay. And that's all true. That's true. That's true. And you can tell me it's not true, but it is true. Actually, at a deeper level, it's not true, but that's probably for another time. But what do you mean it's not true? No, anyway. But there's something else going on. Like even if we say, well, that's true, but that's not why I'm unhappy. That's not why we're unhappy. If the situation were why we were unhappy, then everyone in that situation would be unhappy. It would be impossible to find someone not unhappy when experiencing such a situation. Like if it's true that the situation determines our experience, then everyone in that situation must be having the same unhappy experience. And that's manifestly not true. You know, many of you have been associated with this community for a long time, and perhaps you'll have seen people face huge personal tragedy, or even their deaths, with an incredible peace and dignity. And it's incredibly inspiring to see someone confronted by something that we know would buckle us, and see them seemingly just glide through it with a real serenity and a peace. And, well, that's amazing. I want to be like that. I want to be able to be like that. I want to be able to still be thinking about others, even when my own personal world seems like it's falling in. But we can see that. Like if it was true, and even on the more subtle things, like, you know, some people you tease them a little bit and they run off crying. Some people you tease them and they're delighted. It's different. It's the difference is the mind. It's not the situation. There's something that our mind is doing with respect to the situation. And what's going on is we have these mental equations that are imprisoning us, where we've decided if this and this and this happens, I must be unhappy. And if unless this and this and this happens, I can't be happy. And we're sort of pushing happiness further and further away, out of reach. I can't be happy unless I have these and these and these, and I don't have these things, so I can't be happy. If I have these and these things, I must be unhappy. And I do have these things, so I must be unhappy. If this happens, if I get told I have this disease, I must be unhappy. If I hear of these things happening, I must be unhappy. I must be unhappy. But we don't have to be. We don't have to be unhappy. Would Buddha be unhappy? I mean, if you're lucky, you know, being in this community, then maybe you know people who have wonderful minds. You can think of them. Would they be unhappy? They'd be fine. They'd be fine. So then we can use that to a little bit dismantle this thought. I must be unhappy. I have to be unhappy because this is happening. That's a delusion. It's a mistake. I don't have to be unhappy because this is happening.